my lovely genius brain farts. Stop what you're doing and listen to me right now. You have to be on Mint Mobile. My friends, when I heard Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchased a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But guess what? We chopped it up. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, so we get all the savings directly to us. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month. Go to mintmobile.com/genius15. That's mintmobile.com/genius15. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/genius15. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
And I'm like, okay, listen to me now as an adult, right? And she sees me, and I repeated the exact same things, and she actually broke down crying. And then she got down on her hands and knees with her head down on the floor and asked for forgiveness.
Wow.
And I was just like...
this was when you went back.
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago, dude.
Wow.
And I was like, yo.
You were like, so you do understand English.
Oh, my Korean isn't that bad.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hallelujah.
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 Jesus, I love you.
You know, like, that word, it fucking traumatizes me. That shit reminds me of church so much. But welcome back to the Genius Brain Podcast. I have been talking in my room for 3 weeks by myself, and it has been fucking rough, dude. So we're back in the studio. We have the two Eds, baby. Let's go.
What's up?
Beow, 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 beow. Beow, hallelujah. Beow. Amen. Everybody love a Jesus. Amen. Dude, I don't think I've ever announced this. This is since we talked about it a little earlier, but I think I'm ready for a kid now.
Oh, man.
Soon. I don't think I'll ever be ready, but...
Yeah, you're not ever going to be 100% ready. That's something that you just can be relatively ready.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think, like, with the whole kid thing, too, like, I don't know when the ready time is, because I always feel like I want to do more, right? And I think that's what happened with COVID, because COVID was, 3 years of just not being able to do anything, go out and eat anywhere, experience anything. And I was just stuck looking at Mariel's face for fucking 3 years straight in the fucking house. And then we were actually planning to start trying to have kids. So that year of pandemic, like the year after. Mm. So I think it was around like February or March.
Yeah.
So that year was supposed to be us going to Vietnam for like a month. We were going to travel to Europe at the end of the year. And then during that time, start trying to have a kid. But then after that, like when COVID happened, all that shit stopped.
Yeah.
Like every goal that I had, and obviously too with us, Secret Society, that shit was fucking rough. All the food businesses were rough. And yeah. So like I felt like for those 3 years was us just trying to pick up the pieces of our lives that just fucking exploded into a million pieces. So it's like now that we've, you know, things have, I don't even think it has gotten back to normal at all. But I think like it's settled down. Now we're thinking like, okay, maybe now is the time we start trying again.
Do you guys generally like kids? Both of you guys?
I really like kids.
Okay.
Right? depending on whose kids they are.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Some kids are pretty misbehaved. Some
fucking, dude, yeah. Y'all should have fucking had a condom on for sure, dude. Fucking swallowed that child. Fucking hate. That's the other thing, too. Like, I realized, like, I think most, I would say 99% of my friends, their kids are great, right?
Okay.
And I think, like, there's just, like, a few people's kids that I see. It's like, I can't help but think, this is really bad, I feel. I know a lot of parents hate when other people do this, but it's like, dog, if you don't fucking get your kid, I'll fucking beat the shit out of your kid. Because some of these kids are like, I'll literally fuck your fucking kid up, dude.
Body slam yeah. this motherfucker through the
like,
table.
I have ideas of like, let's say my kid is on the playground, right?
Yeah.
And then their kid is fucking with my kid.
Yeah.
And I come up to the parent and I'm like, hey, can you do something about your kid? They're, you know, being a little crazy. If they go, I can't do anything about it. It's like, cool. Well, I'm going to fuck your kid up then. It's like, what are you going to do? Either my kid fucks your kid up yeah. or I'm going to beat the shit out of your kids. Yeah. Which one do you want?
Did you see Daniel Cormier talk about that?
No.
The Pivot podcast?
Uh-uh.
So he's on the Pivot with RC Ryan. I forget his last name. But he's talking about how, yeah, his kid was on the playground. And some other kid was pushing his kid down. And then every time he tried to get up, the kid would push him down.
Bully, dude.
And so DC went to that guy's, the father.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, if you don't stop your kid from doing that, I'm going to push you down.
Best way to do it. It's like, yeah. hey, I can't hit your kid, but I could fuck you up.
Yeah.
Do you remember in K-Town that girl who threw like ice cubes at us?
Yeah, yeah.
Same situation. It was a guy and his fucking girl.
Right.
And his girl was fucking around. It's like, we're not going to hit your girl, but we'll fuck you up, though.
Damn. Yeah, you better stop your friend right now.
Yeah. And that guy's attitude fucking changed. Like, oh, shit, baby, stop. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hajima.
It was one of those situations, I think, where we were just chilling like late night. I think it was at Hodori.
It was at Hodori,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And then this girl was just drunk being obnoxious. And then she just, yeah, was like throwing ice at us and then tried to be nice about it initially. And then it just got really obnoxious. And it's like, all right, man.
I wasn't there, was I?
I don't know.
It was a lot of us.
Because I was blacked out then. Because I don't remember this.
Well, it was just such a weird situation because, you know, Hodori, if you guys have never been to K-Town before, there's a couple of spots that are really iconic. Hodori may not have the best food, but it's like one of the better late night eats that was open 24/7.
Open 24 hours, right? And they give you giant portions.
Yeah, I will say though, their best dish to me is their yukgaejang.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Their yukgaejang is fucking delicious.
That shit got MSG loaded up.
Oh, of course. God, we would eat that shit, and the next day my face was a perfect circle.
Yeah,
was like, it's so good.
It's a full moon tonight.
So yeah, so I feel like if you guys do want a somewhat OG K-Town experience, you go to Hodori like at 2 a.m.
Yeah, right. For sure. That it's been there for decades, like 30, 40 years or something like that.
They had another restaurant that was
Nagwa. Right, it was right next door to it. And
was it the same people?
That's the thing.
Has been able to answer
this. There's a rumor that the kitchen is connected and it's shared because the menu was exactly the same.
They're both open 24.
I felt like it tasted the same, but some people would swear that one or the other is better. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It tastes the same to me. I can't tell the difference.
The omurice dish?
Yeah.
So omurice for people out there is our fried rice. Very Americanized in the sense that there's peas, carrots, and everything else.
Yeah.
But they'll put like an egg omelet over it with ketchup.
Right. Comfort meal for sure.
Comfort meal, right? I had both at the same place. They taste exactly the same.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same ingredient. It has the peas, the carrots, the beef, you know, onions. And then it's the rice, the fried rice inside, and then a little thin layer of the egg around and ketchup.
Yeah.
And then the salad with the mayo and ketchup dressing.
And you know what always made me feel uncomfortable, which I hate that they did, was right when you get out the car, they're like,
oh yeah, come in.
Yeah, come in here. And then you're like looking at two fucking ramyeon mori ajumas, and you're just like, oh!
It's like walking by the bars where they try to get you to come in.
The same with on 8th Street, there was Omma Jeep and Halme Jeep.
And they would
fight for customers too.
They weren't the same company?
They weren't the same, for
oh
sure.
Oh my God. Because
they seemed like they hated each other.
Korean people are so fucking petty, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you have mom's house? Yeah. I got grandma's house, bitch.
I got great grandma's
house. And then next to great grandma's house.
Yeah.
And then we have Joseon Dynasty behind them. It's like, it even goes further back.
Nagwon actually closed down in the early onset of the pandemic, though. I think 3-4 months into the pandemic, they closed down. So that wasn't, that felt
was
like
so happy.
Yeah, for
they
sure.
They just went outside then like this.
For sure. Dude, Hodori doubled down. Once Nagwon closed down, they fucking redesigned the place, got put out huge LED sign in the front. And I'm like, Damn, why didn't you guys do that when the competition was thick? Now you kind of don't even have competition anymore.
It just says in your pace.
Sophia's dad's restaurant closed down to the Dragon.
Oh yeah,
right off Vermont. It was like across the street.
I ate there. I ate there maybe like a week before. It closed.
I ate there like 2 days before they closed.
Okay, it was crazy, legit. Bro.
It's like a 40-year-old restaurant.
Yeah, well, dude, it's been forever.
I think he owned the land, and so he kind of came up real hard. So it's like, I think like the narrative for people that when they read that article was like, they're getting pushed out because of the, no,
he owns
the land and he is in, I read in an article that he owns the land and he's in the production of building like an apartment or a building there. Yeah. So he's fine.
Yeah,
he's,
right.
He did all right.
Cha-ching!
He's old. He's tired. He served his community and now he's balling.
It's because the chefs too, they're old.
Yeah.
Because over like reaching their 70s and 80s they can't get like those OG type of chefs to make that kind of Chinese food.
Yeah. Oh, so that's so funny. I just had a conversation about this with obviously like four other Korean people. But one of the dishes that I feel that have gotten worse in K-Town over time is actually jjajangmyeon, jjampong, and tangsuyuk.
Yes.
What?
And gampongseo.
Yeah. What in the actual fuck? Yeah. So it's been really hard. Like there is a place that I like to go to. Mm-hmm. It's good, but then it's also because now my expectations for jjajangmyeon and jjampong have gone down. It's the one in H Mart in Arcadia.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That place was just there last Sunday.
Oh, did you eat it?
Yeah.
It's actually not bad, right?
It's not bad, but then even Sora and Stevie, I was with them, they were like, something's with the noodles.
See, here's the thing, though. See, this is what we're talking about. It's like, we actually had like an hour conversation about this because we kind of just slightly mentioned it because I went to another restaurant that I really liked and it fucking wasn't good. It's the one that we always went to. I won't say the name because it's still open.
Okay.
But I'll bleep it out.
Okay.
So this was a spot that we went to all the fucking time. Right. Actually, you were the one that introduced it to me.
Yeah.
And 10 years ago when I went there, fucking delicious.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, this is really good. And then I went there recently and holy shit.
Fell off, man. Fell off. I don't understand. Maybe it is to that point though that the chefs, as they got older, they got cycled out and it's just not the same
anymore. The noodles are different for sure. It's like they used to have some bite to it and now they're just slurpy.
Yeah. There's this weird thing where... it's not weird, but you'll see a lot of these older restaurants, whether it's in K-Town or whatever town that you're in, these businesses used to be something that you could pass down, whether it's to your family or it'll be through like apprenticeship.
Yeah.
So when you go to like countries like Japan or even Korea, right, there's other people waiting to take over this restaurant to continue the legacy, whether it's because they love the food, whether because the business is also profitable. There's a plethora of reasons, right? Over here, our new generation, they don't see owning a business as a viable thing, specifically a restaurant, because it's really hard work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think in our parents' generation before, it was out of necessity. And so there were restaurants out of necessity they made this, but they were also really good with food.
Right.
Which there's like two parts to this, right? There's the one part where there's an old restaurant that's not good, but they've been around for so long, they just become a staple.
Yeah.
Because that's just, they did it because they needed money. But now restaurants, if you want to open it up, you better be passionate. Mm-hmm. Because on every fucking block, there's competition because it's become such a big food culture. Maybe it's because of the economy and stuff like that. Yeah. Not the current economy, but over time, right?
Right.
So a lot of these young kids that are supposed to take over these restaurants, like their kids or whatever, they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So they're getting somebody else who has not eaten the food. They don't know the culture. They don't know anything else. And they're making the food and it doesn't taste good.
From south of the border.
Yeah. They could only replicate it to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the part of like cultural food that you can't really like transcribe.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll see... like, I'm not shitting on these people, but you'll see people who are like, you know, like white folks. They'll white people, Mexican, Vietnamese, whoever, that's not Korean or a part of whatever ethnicity that you have or culture. They'll look at a recipe online and they'll do like, this is how you make this. Mm-hmm. But somebody who grew up with the food their whole life and saw it being made, they'd be like, no, that's not it.
Dude, that's in Portland, right? There's so many Thai restaurants, right? But they're all owned and run by
Sawadi white
people.
Cop.
it just doesn't taste right.
Because they don't know.
Right. Yeah.
You could read a a specific instruction on how to make a dish, if you didn't grow up with the smell, the feel, the family running around, like your mom making it with a thousand things going on, working at a church or whatever the fuck that it is, and then you try to replicate it, it's going to taste different. It's like Korean, they have a, you know, sonmat.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like that's it. That's present in pretty much anything. Kimchi, right? Soups, whatever. Like, for example, my mom. She's a pretty good chef.
No, she is fucking hella good.
Yeah, she gets down.
Mom's hella good.
I could ask her exactly, like, what is the recipe for this? Follow it one-to-one, but it will not taste the same, no matter what you do, right? And so that sonmat thing is definitely true, man.
David Chang does this, David Chang is somebody that I like and hate at the same time, but one of the things, like, I just have to be honest.
Never a straight compliment. Yeah. It's like, I like him, but I hate him.
I like him, but I hate him. He says some of the dopest shit that I relate to. Yeah. And the other half is like, you fucking Teji Seki, shut the fuck up. But the other half, I'm like, oh, I really agree. I mean, maybe that's why I like him too, is because I had this thing where it's like, you don't have to like everything that everybody
says.
Right,
of course, yeah.
Right, but anyways, like he talks about his mom's pindetteok. Right, so people who, if you guys don't know what that is, pindetteok is a mung bean pancake, if you will, right? So if you've had stuff like pajeon or kimchijeon, it's that, but it's the batter's made out of ground up mung beans, right, that you rehydrate through water or whatever the hell else. So David Chang talks about this, like he's eaten his mom's pindetteok, but she's never taught him how to make it. But every time he makes it, he goes, it's just not there. I don't know what the fuck that it is,
yeah.
But it doesn't taste like my mom's. Like, it's good. But then when I serve this probably to myself, I think it tastes decent, but it never tastes like my mom's. And I think like those are those little things that we don't know what the fuck else it is, whether it's because they taste as they go and they adjust it to their palate.
Yeah.
They know something specific that we don't.
Right.
And so even from that, from mother to child can't do it. And then now you try to take that mother who's a chef and then try to teach it to somebody else who didn't grow up in the household, didn't have it 24/7.
Yeah.
And then you try
and not passionate about it.
And not passionate about it, right? Because a lot of the times with online influencers or just anybody else, when you start going to social media, at a certain point, because your passion starts becoming work. And then your work just because, how can I get the most views? I don't even care about the food anymore. I just want to make something.
Yeah.
And so like, there's this one kid who's really popular. He makes like Korean dishes, right? It's this white kid. He does shorts and he always makes Korean food. And then a lot of Korean people are like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's dope.
It's like, but you white.
Korean people are super that's supportive. They real. Think it's really cool. Yeah. If you're an Asian person, like one of the things that Asian people love is watching a white person. Like,
Asian Americans are the ones who hate.
Right? Yeah. Asian people love that shit, dude. It's like when you see... one of my favorite videos to watch, even though now I think it's super fucking corny, it cracks me the fuck up. It's always like a white guy trying to order food. It's like, hey, can I get this? And then she goes, I don't speak English. What's the word? And then he'll just be like, Shama! And she's like,
That Jaume NYC guy.
Oh, yeah. That fool lived in Beijing for hella years, and he always does that. He walks up, geeky fucking white boy, giggles like a
Jewish guy.
Jewish dude, lives out in New York. All of a sudden, what's it?
It's like perfect accent, you know. Yeah.
And then the other person's like, you speak Japanese. Like,
I know. It's very good. But I heard a joke like that, but it's also very true how if you go to Asia, you're a white person, black person, whatever, and then you know little phrases, they're like, oh,
blows their mind. Yeah.
But then Asian people come here and they're like, where is a bus stop? Speak English.
Fucking funny. Which is true. Like, we never get Americans never get impressed by that because they expect you to know the language.
Right.
It's like this.
It's entitlement. It's entitlement.
It's like you should know fucking English.
Why'd you come here?
Yeah. There was somebody who wrote this comment on one of the solo podcasts that I did, which I thought was a very interesting question, because I did a podcast about like the importance of culture. If you want to build a strong family, right? If culture is important to you, right? And it was that conversation of like how hard it is to develop a relationship with your parents, with the person that you marry, if your parents don't speak English.
Right.
Right. It's just hard.
It is. And it is.
It's because like, I think it relegates to, are you hungry? How are you?
Yeah.
Are you good? And it's just nodding and smiling.
Even like with our parents, you know, the language barrier definitely creates a little bit of I don't know, it's an invisible wall, so to speak, where you yeah, sure, you can be close with your parents, but I feel like no matter what, you won't be able to get as close as if you shared the same language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like fluently, to the point where there's no...
gap.
Thought. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you can freely speak your mind, your emotions, your thoughts, whatever. But a lot of times it would get frustrating when I was growing up trying to explain something to my parents or have a conversation about serious topics because I might not have the vocabulary for it in Korean mm-hmm. for them to understand, and vice versa. They don't have the English vocabulary mm-hmm. for them to you know, convey it to me. So yeah, I definitely feel like that language barrier creates a little bit of, you know, that invisible wall factor.
Yeah, when I would you know, date a Korean person, my mom would instantly want to get to know them, meet them. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm dating like somebody else, she doesn't even want.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Don't bring her around here. None of that stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like an ex I broke up with like 4 years ago. She's mm-hmm. like, how is she doing? I'm like, I don't know. You know?
Mom, she tried to kill me. She Korean.
Yes.
My lovely genius brain farts, this podcast is brought to you by Mint Mobile. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, dude, where's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile, my friend's secret sauce, is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. My friends, get on this Mint Mobile. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/genius15. That's mintmobile.com/genius15. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/genius15. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. My lovely genius brain farts, this podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp has been a long time sponsor because I am definitely an advocate of mental health and therapy for those of us who feel like we need it in our lives. And honestly, therapy can be a great tool for you. I have been in therapy for probably over a decade now. And it has been one of my go-to tools. And ever since I started using BetterHelp as well, it's great for me how convenient it is just because I'm always busy. So if anybody out there is just even thinking about giving therapy a try, try it with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire just to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. And I know like the summertime is coming up and we always talk about getting our physical health ready, but guess what? Your mental health is just as important, and if not, maybe even more important. So give BetterHelp a try. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/genius today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/genius.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
But she's a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's definitely that factor too. It's yeah. like having a non-Korean like exes and like when they would come over to my family's place, have meal with them. You know, my parents have to default to speaking English because that's yeah. the only common language that can be shared, right? And they suck at English. And so it's like the like you said, how are you? You yeah. know, are you hungry?
Hungry?
Eat more. You know, yeah. that's what it kind of gets broken down to.
You eat the kimchi? Oh,
pretty good. Pretty good.
Kimchi. Why did they become caricatures?
I don't fucking know. Kimchi is super good.
Korean number one.
Is it not too spicy? Is it nice spicy?
It must have got you. Yeah. Okay.
But like, okay, then taking it back to like what we're saying, like with how maybe there's new chefs at these restaurants and they don't know, right? So taking it back to you planning on having a kid, like what do you plan on having to impart into your
career? Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. I was thinking about
for that. For us, like, because of that, you know, even like I said, that person's question was completely validated because it also linked to the idea for him where he was talking about, well, how come we parents only expect us to learn the language, but we don't expect them to learn English? And I was like, well, here's my perspective on that, right? And I'll wrap back to that is our parents came here from a foreign country, which albeit they weren't really wanted here for a majority mm-hmm. of the time, right? They had to adapt through all the shit. They now eat the food here. They've paid taxes here. They do all this other stuff. I think their assimilation is 99% there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're talking about effort-wise, then your effort of learning how to speak the language of the culture that you say you care about is they did 99%. They're asking you for 1%. So it's not equal.
Mm.
It's not fucking equal at all. And I think sometimes with like young kids, when you're super young and you look at your parents, you tend to be a little narcissistic and selfish. You go, what about me? What about me?
Of course.
What about me?
Immature.
But if your parents, if you could do the same in your 20s, immigrate to another country, build a whole life business, all this other stuff with zero fucking dollars, then maybe you might be able to say something.
Yeah.
So for me, the least I could do is learn the language to better our relationship.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not a bad question, but I think sometimes those things can be really short-sighted. And when I responded back just like that and he understood, he completely got it. But it's like, I hear that a lot because somebody else wrote, not in the nice way that he did, and they said the same thing. And they're like, you're fucking wrong. They need to learn the language. How come blah, 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 blah. It's like, all right, bitch, then don't have a relationship with your parents then. I don't know what the fuck else to tell you. Right. They're 70 fucking years old.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they're like, age is not an excuse. Trust me, even in me in my mid-30s, I don't want to do shit. Could you imagine what happens when I'm 80? Yeah. You're not going to get me to do fucking nothing.
After the life that they've been through as well.
Exactly.
You know?
Especially the type of businesses that our parents have been a part of. Like, they aren't like white collar workers, they're blue collar fucking workers too.
It wasn't no motherfucking walk in the park, that's for sure. And when you just think about the simple fact that you go to a place where you don't know the language, you don't know the people, you don't know the culture, and you're able to create something for yourself, where
crazy.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's a fucking incredible feat. And I think because it's so quote unquote commonplace with a lot of, it's the immigrant story, right? That sometimes it's not as appreciated as it should be.
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, you imagine yourself
speak
doing
English.
That now.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
So, oh man, you guys are making me feel bad. So I was back home. I was back home.
Mom, you got to fucking learn it.
I said that because my mom was making me do all this paperwork for her that she'd been saving up, like these emails to reply to, this class action thing that's happening. And I had to do all this paperwork and I was like, And then I mentioned how a water pipe burst in our garage, right? So the HOA hired some contractors to come in and tear down every wall because it was like getting molded and everything. Those motherfuckers took their sweet fucking time, right? And the thing is, I get it. It's American contractors, you know?
Yeah.
My mom was pissed and she was going in the garage every other day to complain. And I was like, Oma, you are embarrassing. It's so Changpia, right?
Yeah.
I was like, you're being a Karen. Do you know what a Karen is? And I've tried to explain that. And here I am trying to explain some shit, and my Korean is fucking terrible. And I'm like, learn English. You know, so you take care of your business, and you do this paperwork, and da-da-da. And I was like pulling up like English language apps for my mom and shit. But then by what you're saying, I'm like, damn, yeah, like, yeah, I should learn Korean.
I think also the hard part for you in your situation is you also have 2 other siblings and they're not there. It's also just always
all
you.
On you.
It's always you, yeah. Right? Yeah. Something happens, it's like, I'm the one who speaks Korean the worst.
No, but I completely understand the frustration.
Yeah,
because like, you know, growing up, it's like, hey, call them. Hey, read this. Hey, do this. Yeah. Right? It does get frustrating after a while, and especially when you're less mature, you know, you tend to be more immature. You're young, you're thinking about yourself and like, dude, I could be fucking doing this, but I got to sit here and fucking like call these guys and be on the phone for 2 hours with them. And then you think like, dude, why can't you speak better English? I've thought that. I don't think I've ever said that to my parents, but I've thought that, like, dude, how long have you guys been here for? You know?
Yeah.
And then
I said that too. You've been here since 1979.
Get your shit together, Mom. What are you doing?
He's like, you know how to call me gay, but you don't know how to speak English? Huh? Yeah, no, gay? I'm like, what the f- Oh, you know gay, huh?
No, I mean, but man, there was a huge breakthrough too, because I've talked about it before on this podcast about my relationship with my mom, and like there's a lot of strife and turmoil behind it. But then we had a huge breakthrough where we finally talked through it. And what I realized, because my mom asked me how old I was, and I'm in my 30s, you know, my mom's like, what? Like, she didn't know how old I was. She was like, she told me, oh, I always think you're a teenager that just complains all the time. Wow. And I'm like, no, I'm a grown ass man. Like, just listen to what I'm saying. It's because I'm always on the phone with her usually, right? Mm-hmm. And so what she tells me is she hears like a complaining child. But then I'm like, okay, listen to me now as an adult, right? And she sees me, and I repeated the exact same things, and she actually broke down crying. Mm. And then she got down on her hands and knees with her head down on the floor and asked for forgiveness.
Wow.
And I was just like...
this is when you went back.
Yeah, this was a couple weeks ago, dude.
Wow.
And I was like, yo.
You were like, so you do understand
English. Oh, my Korean isn't that bad.
Liar.
No, it's definitely an effort, right? Yeah. It's like, if you want to try to communicate, then you got to put in the effort. Yeah, it's going to be frustrating sometimes. Yeah, it's going to get you a little upset sometimes. But if you genuinely want to have that relationship, you got to put in the effort. There's no way around
so
it.
So for your mom, when she did that, did you expect that? Or were you just kind of like, what the fuck?
You know, here's the dead truth is that I was a little numb because I've been wanting that for decades. Mm. And it happened. And then I'm not like gloating. Mm. I'm not like, yeah. Blah, blah. I was silent and I had a little silent tear, you know. And I was a little like, I didn't know what to think or feel.
Was there a particular catalyst for this, or
it was like, I mean, there's all these things I complained about for years, mm-hmm. and then she finally like heard me,
I saw me.
You know, and you know, the like as the week goes by and I'm processing what had happened, like I was running on anger and hate for the last 10 years, dude. Mm-hmm. Like my motivation was hate. My motivation was I'll show you. Was
for her, you mean?
No, for literally everything. Okay. You know, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of it on her too. But then with that, it's like, yes, a weight came off, but it wasn't like a relief kind of thing. It was like I was so clear-headed now, you know. And I was like, what? Why was I? It's kind of more or less like I was so angry for so long. Did I waste my time? Mm. You know, because like, in my head, I'm thinking of revenge. I'm thinking of, I'll show you. I'm thinking of, what will I do if, you know, when you die, how am I going to, what's my eulogy going to be?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And now it's like, no, I deeply, deeply love my mom.
Yeah.
She heard me as like a moody teenager. Maybe I was behaving like one.
Yeah.
You know? And then all the other resentments I was thinking about, like, all that anger and hate. Like I talked about my church history and the abuse from these pastors and how much I want to see blood from those motherfuckers. I don't want to say it like lifted, but I feel like I'm able to face them now without punching them in the face.
Yeah.
to speak and talk and have a conversation because of like this hatred and anger I was just living with my whole life. And then you see like dudes older than us who just stay angry and walk around like that. It's like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that.
It's a process of growth and maturity, right? Emotional intelligence as well. Some people, like you said, hold on to that negativity and they just live an angry, sad life their whole fucking life.
Yeah.
Other people, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, you've had that breakthrough as well of being able to just kind of let that anger go, so to speak, and try to have a little bit of perspective change. And I'm also glad that your mom was also able to have that perspective change. Because it kind of sounds like that's what was needed in order for you guys to really listen to each other rather than just hear each other, right?
Yeah, and also too, like, I think this is like a good life lesson for people, like, when you stew in anger doesn't affect the person that you hate. It affects you.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's the poison. You drink the poison and expect
the other person to die.
Yeah.
And it's just always like that, right? I'm not saying that it's easy, right? It's easier said than done.
Of course.
Because there's plenty of people that every night before I go to sleep, I'm like... I crossed my fingers so hard they turned purple. Ooh, and I check my phone, I'm like, fuck, they're still alive. Yeah. But I get it. I get it. You know what I mean? There are people in my life right now, I'm just like, fuck. But the hard part about that, too, is just kind of like, forgiveness is such a weird thing, you motherfucker. I'm trying to be serious right now, but I'm just picturing myself at night crossing my legs, dude, and my toes, and then both my fingers like this.
It's like, dear Lord, fuck this guy. Fuck this girl. Yeah.
Smite him, Lord. Yeah. Smite him.
But then it goes back to like when, to be honest with you, like early on when, you know, I was doing YouTube, a lot of the stuff was, to a certain point, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this just to show you I can do it, right? Yeah. Like, even, like, the Sundance film, it wasn't because I truly love film. It's like, oh, you don't think I could act? And then, you know, I just went as extreme as possible.
Yeah.
But then when you kind of, like, accomplish these goals or that demon dies, you're kind of left with nothing, mm-hmm. right? Because now it's like, oh, it's like if you're so angry at somebody and you hate them so much and they come up to you and they go, hey, I was wrong. I apologize. I did all this other stuff. And then you're kind of left feeling even shittier because you're just like, I held all this anger and this person bettered themselves and then I couldn't fucking move past this shit.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck was I doing this whole fucking time? I was like David, just in bed doing this. You know what I mean? And nothing changed. Like, your motivation disappears. Your purpose for living disappears.
Yeah.
Improvement. Everything disappears now. Now you're left with fucking nothing.
Well, see, I think it's arguably worse when you start to become self-aware of your anger and you willfully choose not to do anything about it and hold on to it.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know?
Because, like, for example, when I was younger, I was an angry kid growing up, right? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't aware that I was angry. It took some time for me to start to realize, oh, shit, I have a lot of, like, you know, just rage inside of me that I need to be able to deal with.
Yeah, that chip on your shoulder was you stabbing yourself.
That's the really hard part, too. So it's like after that moment of my life where I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have a purpose for this stuff. And now it's just like, how do I motivate myself in a way that isn't tethered to what somebody else wants from me,
mm-hmm.
right? Because now, because you're expecting that person to die or you're wanting forgiveness from them, your motivation and goal is tethered directly to somebody else's emotions and thoughts. So it's like, oh, I'm just holding my fucking breath, waiting for something to happen, right? And there's really generally no action, right? And even if there is action, once again, if you solve it, the dragon is slain. What's your purpose?
Right.
What do you do now?
Yeah.
Are you just going to look for another fucking enemy?
Yeah.
It goes back to those people like on Reddit. They wait for this person that they see online that they hate so fucking much. And then when they disappear and they're not online anymore, they go, yeah, we kicked them off. Now what?
Yeah.
Do I go to somebody else and hate them and do it again? Do you do this for the rest of your fucking life? Or do you end up just living your fucking life? There are people now, like I said, on Reddit. Or some other fucking platform. They fucking hate me. They make new accounts. They write it all the time. And all I can think about is, dude, I'm staying alive because you hate me. Like, I wanted to kill myself multiple times, but because I read your comment, I'm like, stay alive. Yeah.
Definition of rent-free, right?
Yeah, I lost weight because of you.
Yeah.
Because now you want me dead. I'm going to live longer. Like, thank you for this, dude. Yeah. God bless you.
Yeah, that's true, because after, you know, that breakthrough, I'm like, I was looking at myself, now what do I do? You know?
Well, now you get to live life now, bro.
Now it seems like, oh, there's now this open road that goes anywhere.
Yes, that's the beauty of it.
And I can do what I want to do.
You honestly should be like in the Guinness World Records, because I think you're the only person that got their Korean parent to apologize to them. That's actually pretty fucking amazing.
Well, in that manner. That's the first time I've ever heard. Plaque.
Dude, it was, I'm speechless trying to talk about it now. I'm like, holy shit.
You should have got your phone and just recorded it. Like, is this real?
TikTok.
And then when you look at your phone, there was nothing there. You were just high as fuck.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing, I think. I quit smoking weed January 1st.
Oh, hey.
So
nice.
It's been 2 months now.
Yeah.
And, dude, that first month was bad.
Right.
The withdrawal symptoms were so bad.
Mm.
And then by the time I was in Washington a couple of weeks ago, like, I'm full of clarity now.
That's what I was going to say, is do you recognize the clarity?
Yeah.
Or what I was going to ask. Because a lot of times when people are in that, they don't recognize that they don't have that sense of clarity.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a pothead. Yeah. But once you stop, it's night and day difference.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around.
connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I just started smoking. It's fantastic.
Well, that's good for you because you started late too, right? Like I started when I turned 32. It's so funny. Like all the doctors instead are like, oh, good. You started in your 30s.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like I was 24/7 high.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I usually do it to sleep. So
yeah, that's good too.
Shit, I started when I was 13, bro. I don't know what you guys talking about.
You're still an intelligent person. Okay?
I started with like gummies, but then I don't like eating sugar before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then on top of that too, it's just like the high of an edible lasts way too long for me because I'm literally just using it to sleep.
You right? wake up high.
Exactly. And I hated it.
Yeah.
Because during the daytime, I need to be, I like being lucid. I like being with my thoughts.
Yeah.
So if, like, for example, if I'm gardening with Robin or something, right? I'll smoke because I don't have to be with my thoughts. I'm digging in dirt, baby, you know? And so you just start digging in dirt, then you eat food and you're chill. I'm okay. And that's like once a week. Most of the time, if I'm already tired at night, I don't have to smoke. So that could just knock out. So I specifically use it for that because like my mind races so fucking much. But then when I smoke weed, I become the dumbest person on earth. Mm. And then all those thoughts become one thought. And it's like something fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then eventually I lull into sleep. Like the other day, I was wondering like what would it feel like if I had a tail? And then I just started like going into this weird thought of like how I wouldn't be able to hide my emotions if I was an animal. Yeah. And I would see somebody, let's say I was dating a girl.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to play it cool. Yeah. Like, what's up, mom? Oh, I don't fucking. But then my tail's going like, what the fuck? Oh shit. And my ass is just doing this. And that's what I was thinking before I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If I didn't have the weed, I would be looking at the emerald tablets, why the pyramids are the way that the pyramids are.
Right.
I'm like researching all this other shit.
Yeah.
And so I can't do that because I can't sleep.
You go down these fucking YouTube and Reddit rabbit holes, right?
It's so funny that you're mentioning that stuff because I'm looking into that now that I'm sober. But the other thing was like I realized that smoking weed was actually the source of my depression, obviously the lethargy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking that much weed was keeping me in a state of rumination where I just kept thinking of all the fucked up shit that happened to me or that I did, you know, instead of just moving on, growing, you know, and just moving on to the next thing. And so now that I'm like freshly sober with it, I now look at like not just, oh, do I do this or this? It's like you can do anything. You can do anything as long like purpose or whatever it is, it's more or less like I gotta do this for myself now, not on this motive like hate train.
So do you feel like with you when you were smoking weed it kind of like stopped your growth as a person?
Not really, because I did grow a lot. I mean, dude, I smoked every single day that I lost that 100 pounds.
Wow, you know, that's hard, dude. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, I was fasting as I was smoking weed, you know?
So it served a purpose then.
Yeah, it served its purpose for me.
Fasting is so hard, dog. Our buddy Robin, he fasts the first 3 days out of the week.
Okay.
For the rest of his life, he's going to do that.
That's crazy.
Well, his diabetes
every
is really
week?
Bad.
Oh,
so it helps bring his glucose levels down.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has a purpose now because he's going to have a kid. Mm. And that caused him to lose weight, healthy, and to get his diabetes in control.
Let's go back to that, the kid thing, what you were asking him.
Through what we're talking about and stuff too, like I was also saying like what you wanted to impart onto your kids, but also like I thought about this too, like, man, what if my kid hated me?
Oh yeah.
You know, like, do you fear that as well?
Oh, my kid's gonna love me, dude.
Yeah. You're gonna talk shit about me.
Yeah. It looks like I'm fucking awesome, dude. my kid and I, we're going to be fucking tight. Here's the thing that I know for sure that I won't do, right? I know it sounds so early. That's if I'm blessed with a child. I don't know if I can have a kid. I don't ever say I hopefully I can, right? Yeah. But if we do, it's like my position in life to have a kid isn't to fulfill a hole in my life. I don't have holes in my life that I want to fulfill through my child.
Yeah.
I have no dreams that I want to live through my kid. None of that shit. My responsibility for when I have a kid is to give me purpose so I could develop another human being that's going to be beneficial to society.
Right. Right.
That's my purpose.
Right.
And I know that sounds a little weird. It's like, you don't want to love them. No, there's love there. Right. But like having a child is a huge responsibility. Some people, I feel like when I'm around them, it's like, did you have a kid just so you could have a fucking kid?
Oh, I think a lot of people aren't aware of that responsibility.
it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so when I see people sometimes with their children and they just, you could tell it was just to fulfill, they were trying to cover up some type of emotion that they didn't have with their family or something else, right? Yeah. I don't want none of that shit,
yeah.
Right? I want my kid to be successful and happy and doing the things and have a purpose in life, right? No matter what the fuck that it is. And yeah. I think for me, what I want to impart to my child is also a part of culture. Culture is dying consistently at a very high rate.
Of course.
Like the more, like this idea of people talking about like, we're all the same. We're not all the same. The issue isn't the fact that you have a problem with people because they're different. It's like the issue is that you don't enjoy other people's differences. That's the problem. When things start becoming like this crazy thing where all when nothing matters anymore, where it's like, oh, you don't have to learn the language. You don't have to do other stuff. All this stuff starts to die.
Yeah.
You've seen it throughout history. It happens that way.
Yeah, I mean, it gets homogenized, yeah. Right? It's just there's no difference. There's nothing. Yeah, it just kind of all blends into this one gray area.
Yeah, they know? Go, how come they can't think like us? I don't want you to think like me. Because when I travel, I want to experience a different way of life. Whether I agree with it or not, it's not my place to say anything. That's your way of life. I just want, we're not talking about inhumane things, by the way.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about language and culture and stuff like that. It's like, why can't you just murder
Why don't we have prison camps over here?
No.
I don't like these people.
So for me, like language and culture is going to be fucking huge, right? Fucking make a Korean supremacist. I don't know what the fuck I'll do.
Yeah.
But I want them to, number one, know the language, know the food, and know the customs. And be very proud.
Yeah.
Even more than I did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, to me, that's very important. I think my parents couldn't do that because they were so busy with doing what they were doing.
Right.
But now I want to play a bigger role in, like, my future child's life.
Yeah.
You rarely see a third generation immigrant kid that knows the culture,
right?
They don't even speak the language,
right?
They don't eat kimchi or whatever.
You know, the thing for me is that as I've gotten older, now let me preface this by saying I love kids, I'm good with kids, right? And I've always wanted kids, but as I've gotten older, I'm 39 now. Most of my close friends have at least one, if not two, kids, right? I'm in the very small minority. I'm like one of two or three people that don't have kids and not married. I've gone from wanting kids now to just open to kids. And I see like what my friends are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Like for me, I get to be the fun uncle, right?
Yeah.
Like they call me Funkle. So I get to come in, I get to have fun with them for, you know, 2 hours, whatever. And then I go home and that's it. Not for them, right?
Yeah.
Like that parenting is not a part-time job. That's a full-time job.
Yeah.
And then I hear of like the things that they're having to go through, the sacrifices they have to make, the compromise they have to make. And then I mirror that against what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to accomplish. And I'm like, ooh, those two pieces of the puzzle don't really fit together yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think like for me, like how my mom put it to like me and Mariel is like, you know, you get to a point in your life and your age where you've like accomplish everything that you wanted, and then one of my biggest joys is like I'm happy with my life, you know, but the thing that makes me happy is watching you be happy. So it's like
that's a beautiful thing, man.
As I get older, like I see you and I see the stuff that you accomplish, and it's not like she's like living through me, but it gives her a purpose to stay alive in her old age,
right?
Because after a while your body breaks down, you can't do the things that you thought you could do.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like that human instinct to want to reproduce and all this other stuff. And like I enjoy that perspective of like having a child.
Yeah.
Right.
I swung on the pendulum. It was like, because my dad got married when he was 23.
Yeah.
Right. Like
pretty young.
Had us when he was 24, 25,
yeah.
26. And then, you know, and so when I turned 23, I was like, what the fuck? I'm not married, you know?
Yeah.
Not realizing how fucking dumb that is.
Right.
right? And then I just desperately wanted to have a kid in my 20s. And then when in my 30s, I was like, I realized how fucked up I am. I'm like, I'm not bringing a kid into this world. And then because I basked in so much nihilism in the past many years, mm-hmm. was like, this world is fucked up. The climate change, the economy, the future, and like all of this, it you can't bring a kid into this world, because I was just hardcore, like, nothing matters. There's no purpose. There's no whatever.
Yeah.
And then same with you. I'm open, you know, because, you know, whether on you're on two sides of the extreme of how much I wanted, it was like the peace really is in the gray area, right in the middle.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that I don't have a kid, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, but I see my friends who have kids and they all say the same thing. Once you see them like newly born, something changes, clicks. Like yeah. clicks.
I'm sure.
It's like a
I'm
weird
sure.
human thing.
Yeah,
to
dude. Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, life is not about me anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't think you can realize that until you have one of your own.
There's a show on TLC, like, I didn't know I was pregnant. It's just these stories of women who just like, what the fuck? They're sitting on the toilet and then, like, crowning. Yeah.
There's, you know, I actually got in trouble in high school because I asked a question and they were talking about sex ed. And then I thought it was a completely normal question and I still stand by it till this day. He was like, talking about how some women don't know that they're pregnant and they'll give birth. This is literally in high school. And I asked this very normal question. I was like, okay, if you're a really, really fat person and you were pregnant, how would you know? And he sent me outside.
But that's a majority of the story.
Yes!
But what I'm trying to say, though, is like...
Like, what's another 30 pounds when you're 400?
Yeah.
Man.
You know what I mean?
What I was going to allude back to, though, was like this lady was having like stomach cramps and she went to the hospital and she's standing there like, oh, and then boom, the baby just pops out right by her foot.
Jesus.
And then her story was, as soon as I saw it, it was shock, like a baby, but also I loved it. Immediately I was in love and it was mine. Like I said, the clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, she didn't even care that she was pregnant the whole time. Just like
she
that
thought it was kid. A Subway sandwich. That
Oh, man. Yeah. There was a teacher who had a pot belly in high school, and she wasn't like fat or anything. She was relatively skinny. So there was this cruel joke with the kids, like, she must have like a dead fetus in there.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, because like, it was like a legit like pot belly. But again, she wasn't overweight. She was like relatively thin actually, but had this, dude, I kid you not, true fucking story. She has a podium that she used to stand in front of and talk, right? Or stand behind and talk. And she had a bell. There's a little like a storage space inside the podium. There's a bell there that she hits with their thing. She's sitting behind the podium and her hands are here on top of her belly. And then, like, we're like talking about something, and all of a sudden, she starts laughing. Ding, ding, ding. Like, wait, hold on. What the fuck? Her hands are on her stomach right now.
That's
dude, her fucking gut was hitting the fuck. Oh,
when I was in high school, too, like, not even as a joke. I have a lot of these moments, but there was this, he was our ag teacher. We had an agriculture program in our school because it's a farm town in Sacramento. And her name was Miss Spitterst, right? Craziest thing, though, thought it was a man for 4 years. I thought it was Mr. Spitterst because looks like a fucking guy.
I've had
the
that.
Whole time.
I've had that.
Senior year of high school, pregnant. I was like, dude, Mr. Spitterst getting fat. Right? And I never actually had a class because I wasn't an ag student.
Yeah.
So we were chilling, and I was like, dude, Mr. Spitters is fucking getting chunky, right, guys? And they're like, that's fucked up, and people are laughing. I don't know why people are laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, he's getting fat. And then one of the homegirls were like, do you not know that's a woman? And I was like, that's fucked up. Don't make fun, because everybody knows that, like, Mr. or Miss Spitters, or it was Mrs. now, but was a really cool person. I'm like, that's fucked up. I'm just saying, like, gained a little weight. She goes...
Yeah. Yeah, you're fucked up.
I'm fucked up. No, that's a woman. I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
short, like Robin Lyman Muddy hair, like 5'2", just this stout little fucking guy. He looks like an orc. And so I had no fucking idea until she got pregnant that that was a fucking woman, dude.
Did you ever have her?
No, I never had
her. Okay, okay. So that's more understandable.
I, like a few years ago, I was visiting Washington. I go back to my home church. And there's this girl I've known since like my whole church life there. And she's always same, had kind of a pot belly, you know?
Mm. And but skinny.
No, not really.
Okay. Large with the pot belly. Okay.
And I've just always known her that way. And then I'm visiting and it's a Sunday and I'm talking to her, blah, blah, blah. And then this dude walks up to her and just rubs her belly.
Oh,
hey, how's the baby?
I looked at him. That's the shit you see in movies.
And I said, yo, what the... I actually dropped the F-bomb at you. I was like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man. Yeah. Like, dead serious, angry. And then like, and then she goes, I'm pregnant. And they're like, she goes, you think I'm just fat? And what am I supposed to say?
Yeah, well, you were.
April Fools.
Yeah, you were.
It's September. It's September, bro.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, that's why I don't even say shit.
Yeah.
Shout out to that Mexican dude outside of 99 Ranch in Sacramento. I have a friend. Her name is Tiet. She was getting kind of chubby at the time.
Mm.
Guy wakes up. He goes, congratulations. Like, fucking Mexican dude. Right? He goes, Jabrenda. Right? And she goes, no. This fool doubles down. He goes, you sure?
It could be one of those TLC situations, right?
I saw this episode of TLC where they fucking just give a baby just right out.
It's okay, I'm colorblind.
Yeah. I'm colorblind. I'm going to lose my job. Yeah, but I've definitely had those moments too. Look, I don't think it's a wrong thing for me to ask, and I still expect an apology from that teacher. I'm holding that anger in for the rest of my life. He sent me fucking outside because I asked that shit, but I was like genuinely curious. And that TLC show is the one that was like,
you feel validated.
Hell yeah. Because honestly, if you really think about it, if you're 400 and something pounds, another 30 or 40 pounds makes zero fucking difference.
Your cravings, what difference is that?
Your cravings is your regular appetite.
Yeah.
True.
Like your bowel movements are all fucking weird anyways. Your ankles are already swollen.
At that weight, too, your hormones could already be fucked up.
Right,
too,
right. The sensations, I'm sure, are, you know, doesn't really play a big factor.
Yeah, it's 100. I expect an apology immediately. Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Genius Brain Podcast. On this episode, we went over the fact that Ed is the first Korean to ever get a sincere apology from his Korean parent, which is fucking unreal. I wish it was recorded somewhere so I could see it myself so I could cry. Genius Brain every Sundays at 12 p.m. Secret Society is our fashion basics high quality brand, SecretSociety.com. Make sure you cop that. We got some dope shit coming out.
Super dope. Super
ridiculous. Dope. We're kind of getting to the point where we're able to make the stuff that we want through your guys' support. So make sure that you guys check all that shit out. We just did a restock on some of our favorites. You can catch Ed at Ed Park VP Bible Study at Momo. And see y'all next time. Genius Brain every Sunday at 12 p.m. Peace.
Peace.
Stutter on that last shit. Cutting. Miss Spitter is out
for. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.